Father, we come before you. We thank you for this gathering of your people. We're grateful for your mercy, your love, for bringing to our attention the needs of the family that you've given us. We pray for Bonnie, who's going to be moving back to Texas, that you will bless her and hold her up through that transition. We also pray for your protection on Georgie, who's going to be traveling, that you anoint that time with her husband. We pray for Jim's wife, Sue, who went for a biopsy, that your mercy and intervention will be there, Father, and peace given to Jim and his wife. We pray for Nicholas, who is wrestling and through the night, through different circumstances, and needs our prayers. And we pray you hold him up, Father, and continue to bless him with good counsel. We thank you for Roy and Annelle, for hearing our prayers for them and for bringing their daughter into their life again, more at a perfect time, really, to bring comfort to them both. And we pray that that will really continue to hold him up. And we're very grateful for that praise report. We pray for Dave Rogers, who's been burdened with so much work. And now it seems that that may come to an end in 2 weeks. So we pray that you will provide for him, Father, and ask that you'll restore his health, as he's been so overworked. We ask also for Mary's health, that you'll hold her up and continue to bless her with those parts of the body that can reach her and comfort her and work with her. And thank you for her faithfulness, Father, to your word and for all that you have accomplished through Mary. We pray for Donna, for her health, and that you will give her strength and peace in her house, and a spirit of courage and faith and conviction, so that she's not being sore pressed by her son or anyone in her life. We ask that you will comfort her and help us to reach out to her, Father, as we can. And we pray for Dez's grandmother, who her foot is not healed yet, and yet we're hopeful that she won't have to have that foot amputated, and pray that you will continue to bless her and help Des to be a comfort to his family, to his grandmother. We pray for Betty, for her back, that you will heal her of that and strengthen her, Father, so she can have that fellowship that she's planning with Vern and Pete. We ask also for your blessing on George and Polly, that that situation will get better, and that you will continue to help them through that time. Give them the wisdom and the love they need and the strength. We pray also for Aaron in that regard, with his family, with all the trials that he's going through right now, and with his sons, that you will bless and strengthen him and help them through that incarceration. And we pray for his aunt, who's mourning the death of her daughter, for Pete and his family trials, all that he's going through, that you hold up our brother. And we pray for we thank you for the praise report from Victor, that he's been a faithful witness to his family, and pray that you'll continue to help him and give him the courage and the opportunity to teach his daughter and to help her to know what your word says about birthdays. As we know, we all have to do this, Father. We pray for the courage, the opportunities, and pray that we can honor you and not deny Christ in any way in our life. Thank you for everyone here on this call. We pray for your inspiration, that you'll help us all to contribute and open up our heavens as we look into the book of Psalms. And thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So we started last week, and we got two verses done. And that's, I mean, it was a joy, because the conversations just got growing and growing. So if that happens again, that's fine. That's what we'll do. But the plan anyways is to go from 10 to 17 and see if we can read through and answer and look into the Word of God. I'll read this and give us a sense of where we're going. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. It's always amazing how the emails seem to tie into what the Lord gives me week after week. And this week was no different. I mean, this sort of came at the end of the week, but Tom's petition, you know, for his own situation. And so it really made me think of this last verse that we're looking at, and that's where we got our title. So, but I am poor and needy, and Lord, think upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. That's our prayer for each of us. In verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I have not concealed thy loving kindness because it is his to give to whomever he has ordained it to be given to, each man in his order. Love and truth are spoken of together in verse 10, reminding us that it is the truth that sets us free, and that it is the continuing in God's truth, abiding in it, which brings about this most precious fruit of a deeper love for one another. James 5:7 says, Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Having the truth is one thing, but speaking the truth in love, or demonstrating that love is only possible as God changes our hearts and sheds his love abroad within them. So just as we would pray and ask God to increase our faith, we ought to pray as well that God will deepen his love within us for each other and for this dying world that Christ died for. John 13:34 says, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm sure we're all in agreement that we are his Son. We are Jesus Christ. We are his body. We're being sacrificed for the world. And so we have to go through this process of having his love mature in us, which is a very sacrificial love, a love that finally puts off the flesh and lives only to be subject unto the will of God. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation, reminds us to pray that God will grow this genuine concern and love within each of us, as he did in Timothy and all those who were predestined to overcome in this age. The point being that it is a gift, and Philippians 2:19 says, But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. God's truth can continually preserve us if we are given to be disciples indeed, who abide in the truth or continue in the truth, as mentioned above. Only when God does that, and does not withhold his, rather, only when God does not withhold his tender mercies from us is this able to be accomplished. His tender mercies work in conjunction with us being able to express his loving kindness and truth, which preserve us. We are preserved by correction, thy righteousness, thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies of these verses, these two verses. And this is the way of life that God's elect have been called unto today. Proverbs 10:17 says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. God's mercy is really all about his dealing with our first man, Adam, in this age, by bringing our initial vessels of dishonor into judgment, so that the cup can be cleansed from the inside. So we go for so long just cleansing the cup on the outside. Everyone wants to look good and be thought well of, but we don't see at first because God doesn't show us the dead man's bones that are within us. And so he says to us, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Thy tender mercies come about because of thy righteousness. And a quick look at how those two Strong's numbers are used in other verses throughout the Old Covenant can help us understand the deepness of this promise we read in John. For thy truth to continually preserve me, of Psalms 40, verse 11. So the word righteousness there is H664 and H6666. And one is justice in verse 9, righteous, and then justice in verse 10. Almost exactly the same, and the root is H6663. And you'll always see, or not always, but very often you'll see these two words side by side. So Isaiah 58:2 reads, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, the first one, the second one there, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They asked of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. In Daniel 9:18, O God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. So again, there's the mercies of God. They're connected to the judgment. So justice is connected to mercies there. We see that. So when God judges us, he's showing mercy to us, and his righteousness is formed through that. In Hosea 2:19, and I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. And that sort of brings all of those concepts together. It truly is his judgment and justice and righteousness, which always work together to the end, that's telos of the law. In Romans 10:4, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes, and the end there is telos. James 2:12, so speak you, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So we know that's the righteous law of liberty, and there's judgment again right next beside it. And there was a verse in Job 40, we don't have it written down here, I think it was 40 verse 6. I just want to bring that up because it was in one of the most recent emails sent out. No, it wasn't there. Let me find it here quickly.
Eight.
Yeah. Will thou also disannul my judgment? Will thou condemn me that you may be righteous? So there it is. If we disannul God's judgment, it will be self-righteous. But when God judges us, we'll become righteous because God's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, is formed through that judgment. So we are brought into judgment for a very to his glory. That's what I'm trying to say. Any comments on that first verse? Verse 2, actually. Or any of those first two verses, I should say, 10 or 11.
Steve?
You can hear me. Yep. I'd like to make a comment, Tony. Because, we're talking about mercy and that there. And, this is a Psalm of David. And when I think of mercy, I always think of this one here verse. This is Isaiah 55:3. And it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David."
Hmm. Amen. Thank you, Steve.
Mike.
I had myself muted. But can you go back over to those two verses? That first one, verse 10, is it?
Verse 10. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, "I have not hid your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation." Steve here, my brother that was just speaking, had a letter from his school. His grandson brought it home, and he was expected. What it did was it proclaimed the. Steve, could you tell us a little about that letter from about homosexuals? Could you tell us about that?
Well, what it was is that the school where my grandson goes to, they wanted the children to sign a pledge to be silent for a day for homosexuals.
Wow.
I mean, the school, the teachers, the principal, the president of the United States, they are hiding God's righteousness. They're not declaring his faithfulness or his salvation, and they are concealing his loving kindness and his truth from the great congregation. And you and I, I don't know what you are up against, but I had this stuff to contend with when my children were going to school. Mm-hmm. Not this, but other things that were I thought were bad enough. Seems like all theater is they want to push the envelope, and yeah. Take off as much of the clothes of their actors as they can. And that in high school. And so this is just the next step, and they're going to go beyond this. Don't think they're going to stop there. And you and I have got to make up our mind. Are we going to stand, or are we going to just cave? Because we are going to have to make a stand. God is going to try our faith. It's the trial of our faith that is precious to him. And I'm just saying all this to encourage you all to be prepared for what lies ahead.
Amen.
Because it's coming on fast and strong.
It is coming on fast and strong. Thank you, Mike. And it's just amazing how evil men are waxing worse and worse. I mean, the Lord is showing us what flesh is. And we at the same time have to be prepared, like you're saying. And appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Steve, too, for bringing that up.
You can see what it's coming to. What's going to happen is that they will charge you with a hate crime if you say anything against them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they will charge me with a hate crime one of these days because I suppose, they'll censor the web. I don't know. I don't know where this is going, but it's really headed in a hurry to a collision between those who have godly values and those who just don't care.
You know what that makes me think of, Mike, is when talked about Saul gathering up everyone who was of that way. You know, how it's worded in Acts 9.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That that condition is coming upon this world because the two spirits are juxtaposed. I mean, mm-hmm. God's spirit is not of this world. And if we love this world, we don't have the love of God in us. We can't cozy up to the ideals and the theology of this world because it's an abomination in God's eyes. So.
Well, I've had brothers in our fellowship at one time who said, Mike, you don't really expect us to tell our children not to partake of Christmas festivities, do you? And then Easter, you want us to tell her teacher just to let her sit in a class or in a room by herself or just sit over to the side by herself? And the answer is yes. Yeah. It's good for your children to be made to feel different. It's good for them. Yep. It's good for us.
That's the one thing about growing up in worldwide. I went through that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you deal with your children honestly and tell them what the truth is and lead by good example.
Show them in the Bible.
It wasn't easy for me, you know. Mm-hmm. It was embarrassing. I was taunted, but it was okay because I thought, hey, I'm doing the right thing for the true church.
It prepares us for what lies ahead. That's what it
means. Yeah, yes, exactly. Thank you for that, Sandy. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next verse here. Verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. God sends the spirits to do their work. Two verses which are very good to refer to in that regard. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And 16:23, and it came to pass when the spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Sometimes those spirits will come to us in innumerable amounts and make us feel so sore pressed that we cannot conceive how we are going to escape this pressure. In Psalms 22:16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Speaking of Christ, of course. And he went a little further on his face and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And the promise is in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The Lord is at hand and working the greatest works in our spiritual lives at these moments, when we have to stand up, as we've been discussing, and when we trust, are given to trust the Lord through these things. It demonstrates his loving kindness, his tender mercies, and faithfulness to preserve us, both physically and spiritually, but always through the fire spiritually. Christ promised we would drink the cup. He didn't say you won't have to drink the cup, it'll be an easy go. No, he said it'll be a narrow path, and we will drink the cup. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. But there shall not a hair on your head perish, Luke 21. And Daniel 3, verses 16 to 18, is simply talking about how we are able, through Christ, it's a shadow of it, to stand up against the fiery trials and to drink the cup, which is what this story is really talking about. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And of course, they were saved, yet so as by fire. They went into that fiery furnace, and Christ was in the midst of the trial with them, which is what we have to remember. While the physical serves its purpose, the Lord continues to preserve us spiritually and brings us to the point where we understand that nothing can separate us from his love. Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The death of the saints, both by dying daily and ultimately putting off this flesh. If you think again of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they said maybe the Lord will let us perish. Well, that's fine. This is precious in his sight. Psalms 116, 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is thy salvation spoken of in verse 10 above. Any comments on verse 12?
I'd just like to say, Tony, that the death of his saints is not talking about us being physically crucified. It's our dying daily.
Amen.
Our being crucified daily, our bodies being given a living sacrifice that is precious in his sight. The trial of our faith.
Yes.
Is much more precious than of gold that perishes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. I will with that verse, I will make a man as pure as the gold of Ophir. Ophir. Victor.
Yeah, I'd like to also mention that Nari's study about covenants and the meaning of covenants, and one of the primary meaning is to cut off the flesh, and that ties up to dying to the flesh.
Beautiful. Thank you, Victor. Yeah, it sure does. The circumcision. I'm sure that's what he was talking about. And we are the generation who have no confidence in the flesh. So it's wonderful to know that the Lord can give us the power to fulfill these covenants, to put off the flesh. And that's what we're learning. You know, it's not by our might or power, of course, but God's covenant is a promise that will be fulfilled. Christ will finish what he started in us. And so I appreciate you bringing that concept up. Any other comments, sir?
Tony. Yeah, I'd like to make one comment, Tony. You know, it's about the dying daily, because our Lord says the same thing. And this is Luke 9:22-9:24. It's just saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And here it is here. If he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whoso will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.
Amen. Yeah, I remember that listening to an audio of Mike. This is years ago, and he said, I'm not quoting you exactly here, Mike, but that is the most concise verse, really, to describe the gospel right there. And we want to pray that that's us, you know, especially verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things. It's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom. And be rejected of the elders and the chiefs and the scribes, which is just another way of saying you'll be hated of all men, and be slain, and we die daily, and be raised the third day, and that's going on to perfection on the third day. So that's really the gospel being preached to us right there. And it is not the gospel in this world, because the world doesn't know Christ in that regard. They have another Jesus, and it doesn't require that you die daily. It's an easy way. It's a broad way. So thank you for bringing that up, Steve. Okay. And verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And we could say, make haste to help us fulfill Luke 9:22 that we just read. That's truly our prayer, because we know that we can't do that without Christ, but that's the goal. And we want to be confident that what God has started in us, he will enable us to endure. The Lord has moved me personally and to utter this prayer several times in my life. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Lord, make haste to help me. But what I never understood until much later in my walk was that the Lord was not really showing me his favor by delivering me from my trials alone without having my faith tried in the fire through the process. So if we look at Deuteronomy 29:5, it says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. So we were being preserved, and it's a shadow of the law, the schoolmaster, that period. And it's tribulation too. It doesn't mean that you don't have trials in the court, because you do. In Exodus 3:5, and he said, draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou stand is holy ground. So we get a sense here that when we are being purified, our shoes are taken off. We have to go through the fire. Our feet are purified and become those feet of brass that speaks of Christ's feet in the book of Revelation. And here again, we have another allusion alluding to this in John 1:27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch it I'm not worthy to unloose. So John represents the law. He's also a type of the elect, but he's saying here, I'm not worthy to come up from under the law. The least is greater than John. So John is still bound by the law. But when Christ is in us, our sandals are off. Christ is the end of the law, the end of the shoes. They come off and we go into the fire. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our trials are precious trials of faith, because they cause the death of the first man, Adam, progressively, as he dies to all the law-keeping, the sandals, the works of the law, where the schoolmaster, the tutors, and governors have dominion over our faith. This death is precious in the sight of the Lord, and it is a death which is incremental, as we mentioned. Just to look at that for a moment, Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But Galatians 4:2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So it's all of the Father. He is the one who gives us victory at the appointed time. 1 Peter 4:2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So it's interesting to consider that, because when we are not living our lives to the will of God, we're living it to the will of men, which God has ordained. And that's when we are in the court, when we're ruled over. It says the Nicolaitan spirit, we're being ruled over. And we know that not one of us has dominion over each other's faith, because Christ is our head, and we follow each other as we follow Christ. Psalms 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We talked about that earlier. And he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. This is talking about the principle that it's incremental. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. So God reminds us that it's his work, that we can't overcome. We believe in his sovereignty, and we believe that what the scriptures say, that God, we're not of Apollo or Apollos, because God gives the increase and all things are ours. And we were discussing that this week, how when we know all things are ours, we appreciate the fact that we're many members, because we understand that we see in part. The scripture says we see in part because we are many parts, but we make up the body of Christ. But when the resurrection comes, those who have been given to know that, to follow that, will see Christ as he is, face to face. But it's in part until then. And that's why we die daily. So we have our next verse. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. The positive way to be preserved is, and to remain blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, should be our prayer for one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As opposed to remaining preserved under the schoolmaster, which has its season, and not moving unto faith that is tried in the fire of grace, which chastens us and teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Grace causes us to want to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And there's the schoolmaster verse in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Titus 2:12, teaching us, which is the word paiduo, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And that's the same word, paiduo. So it's God teaching us, chastening us. And without that chastening, we would be bastards, the scripture says. And it's a miracle that we are being blessed to be chastened of the Lord in this age. If we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, it will be because God is dragging us to do so. Because we can't go there, we won't go there by ourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And we will know that it will require his righteousness alone to be able to endure until the end, if we are granted to be found in him. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is God's good pleasure to bruise Christ and his body in this age. So when we ask God to deliver us in this age and to make haste to help me, we are praying that we can be his workmanship, pressing toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which can only be accomplished by grace and faith. Philippians 3:14 and Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If it be God's will, he will make haste and do this quick work within our lives. Romans 9:28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. It is incredible how much God has given the elect to make this sojourn possible. And I think it was last week's study, or somewhere along the road, this verse came up. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Mike, I think you had mentioned this. We were talking about the internet, and everything that's led up to this age is all for the sake of God's elect, for the sake of the gospel, and for the sake of separating this body, this little remnant, and nourishing us. And God the Father says it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. He is using all of the resources that he's created through Jesus Christ for this body. That's how personal and wonderful our calling is. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Considering that all things are for yours, and if God is for you, who can be against you? If we consider that, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yes, we talked about groaning today in the emails, yet the inward man is renewed day by day as we die daily. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And what comes to mind is, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And this may give us an idea of why Christ says, the scripture says that he looks to the joy that's set before him. So yes, we're going to go through the physical trials, and whatever the Lord is going to bring, it's already spiritually calibrated. He knows what we can endure. We can endure all things through Christ, and we pray to be settled in our hearts that we will go through the fire. But God has promised that we'll drink the cup, that it's his good pleasure to get us from point A to point B. Did I get to the end of that? And then Matthew 16 says, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And this is the classic verse, because it really is talking about how the world and all of those people who, and I've been one of them, when we look at prophecy, it's always, we look at prophecy from an eschatological, outside of ourselves point of view, and never apply it inwardly. And that's what Christ is saying in these verses, is that you're looking at outward signs and you're not understanding how these things apply to you inwardly. And as long as we do that, then of course we're walking in darkness, because we have to see how the word of God applies to us, every word which we have to live by. Any comments on verse 13?
Yeah, we've got Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I'd like to make some comments there, Tony. Well, one thing I'd like to say is, you were talking about, all things are ours or whatever. I always say this, I said it before, Tony. People think that they got planes, trains, and automobiles and things like that. God gave these things so the elect can be with each other. And to me, the greatest invention that God given man was the printing press.
Mm.
See? And I call the internet the printing press of the 21st century. But anyway, as you were giving your talk, Tony, I had a scripture come to mind. But it was from that scripture that brought me to something else, because I was studying the scriptures during the week, and I ran into this here. And it's just one of them scriptures that kind of popped out to me. But when I saw it, it reminded me of this one scripture, and you used that scripture, and it's Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In a life which I now live in the flesh, I live, right here it is, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm just want to read a few things here, Tony, from this is from Acts, and this is Peter. And this is Acts 3:2. And I'm going to read it down. I'm going to skip because I'm going to get to the one I was wanted to get to. But anyway, this is Acts 3:2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, is carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that they entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him, but John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but just as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet, his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now I'm going to jump down to 15 and 16 because this is the key. This is the scripture. When I read this, it kind of popped out at me. And it goes up to the Galatians 2:20 that you used, and that's one of the ones that came to my mind here. Mm-hmm. In Acts 3:15 and 16, he says, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. It is, here it is right here. And this is 3:16 is what really popped out. In his name, through faith, in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him, Christ, has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
That's very connected to Galatians 2:20. That's good, Steve. Thank you. Yeah.
But it just goes to show not just that, faith is given to you. This guy was crippled, and how Peter worded it. It was just something. He says right here.
Yes, yes.
And his name made this man strong. The faith which was by him was given him this perfect soundness. See, that's the whole thing, because it's beautiful. Through the faith of Christ that we could do what we could do.
That's just so central, right, to the gospel. Christ told his disciples, it's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And with that statement, like the verses you're showing here, Steve, it connects that faith to mercy, because we all are that crooked man. We are all, every illness is, like we talked about last week, is within us. And it takes the faith of Christ to see that and to acknowledge it, and then, of course, to cry out and be healed. So it takes Christ's life in us. And we know all of these healings that Christ did didn't convert anyone. But again, it tells us all things are for your sakes. All of those healings that Christ did were for the sake of the elect, to show us that that's what we will do, what we will do spiritually. Greater works than Christ, we will heal the world with the words that will be sent forth. and with the power of the Holy Spirit. So all of that, of course, is only possible with Christ in us, but God determines the seasons and the times when that healing will come, when Christ will come. And I appreciate you bringing those verses all together very much. Thank you. Any other comments on that verse? We got up to verse 13. Is that? So we'll probably pick it up from 14 to the next there for next week. It looks like. And I want to say hi to John. And there's a couple of people that came on there when we were. And Wendy, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for the teaching. Thank you for the add-ons too, Steve. That was
wonderful.
Crucial, yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Donna.
Crucial.
And
yeah.
James East.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. It's wonderful
Hello,
to see you there.
Donna.
And Bonnie, welcome, Bonnie. And
hi.
Bobby and Eileen, welcome. Wonderful to have you with us.